up, we tread this wondrous land. Walking on this earth, we take a stand. With a smile, we open up our eyes. It's departure time. When you're all alone, never think you're on your own. We'll go and find your destiny. Just give it time, continue to breathe. Filled with tenderness, thank you, Earth, for my life's quest. Now that it's time to leave a wish for the best. You can spun again, basking in the sunlight. You can fly away. Time to rise up, shine your light. Show the world you can make the climb. Waking up, we tread this wondrous land. With a smile, we're running hand in hand. No matter if we fall, we'll try again. Knowing
was just humming along to the end, our outro song, because I was kind of listening to the end of last week's episode right before we started recording.
Ah, yes.
But yeah, Foxy hasn't heard anything from ever, I guess, so she has no idea what we use it as an outro song. So she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, it's that song, but I couldn't remember the name of the song.
I usually stop way before I get to the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. You like just do it just a bit and then that's all.
Okay.
But hi guys, how you doing? How's your week been?
Well, it's been alright.
It's alright.
I would like to apologize first and foremost for fucking jinxing it.
Yeah, good job.
I don't think you jinxed it at all. I was trying to.
It was inevitable.
That we'd only ever been promised 10 chapters. So if they hadn't come out with some sort of an announcement saying otherwise.
Right.
I'd only to expect the 10 chapters.
And I get that, but the fact is of what the freaking producer, not producer, but like the helper person said, you know, last week, the author comments.
They might be done, but it doesn't mean they're ready, right?
Yeah, that's probably true. But
yeah, and a couple weeks ago when that post came out, like Sakaki was like, he sees how this has been misinterpreted on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I posted it about them having 30 chapters written from 4 years ago, and it's like none of that is drawn, basically.
Ah.
There we go. Okay.
Wow. That once again was misinterpreted, but
yeah, and then like his Twitter account like, going silent a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Also made me suspect that they weren't doing anything else, or nothing was going to be released, rather. I think they had been drawing something past 400.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just not finished.
Right.
Or not in any shape to be published.
Right, which would be the whole aspect of why they were, you know, there's a turnabout of, like, it's going to continue, but it's just not going to be in your typical weekly fashion.
Yeah.
Which right, again, right. We don't know what that is, and we're still kind of up in the air about the release schedule of it. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But anyways, hi everybody, welcome to episode 117 of Dropping the X. We are your hosts for this last chapter review for a while until we actually know what happens. We do have more shows planned, and we actually talked about this not that long ago between us about, you know, how we're going to continue recording and having different things to talk about. We're not just going to go on hiatus as well. Hopefully, as we record, we hear more news about when to expect more chapters. If we get one once a month, that'll be swell. I think that'll be the ideal scenario.
I think it's probably going to be like three is too optimistic. Like two bursts a year, maybe one or two. Where we get something like this, like a batch of 10
of
chapters.
10? Okay, so yeah. 20 chapters a year is what you're saying.
I think that's the most optimistic.
Okay, okay.
I would like it to be like a quarterly dump of chapters, but I don't think we're that lucky.
Well, no. It's another aspect too, though, because as we know, Togashi's a very proud man, and that's one of the things I keep hearing and I keep seeing about that. They are going to work with his schedule because, the way that he writes the manga, one of the author comments that he did this week with this chapter was pretty telling in that way, because he said, I'm looking it up real quick, give me 1 second while it loads, but it was an actual comment from him, it wasn't from his assistant. But in the comment, he stated saying that, this is Togashi. I'm currently trying to figure out how to keep the manga going without causing so much stress to everyone who helps me out. Because, again, he's the one who's said in the past that he needs to be the one who draws things. He needs to be the one who writes things. So I'm assuming that they're like, okay, well, we can help you. We can get this. And he's like, no, I'm set in these ways. So I just don't want you guys to have to do all that for me. And that's the part I think where they're struggling, because obviously he's got assistance and they could get done a lot faster with his help, but he is, like I said, a very proud man that looks at this and says, no, I want to do this by myself type thing, I imagine. Or at least it's been reported in the past that that's how he feels, which is why he doesn't depend on his assistants to do everything.
He has seemed lately like he's coming around in terms of being less traditional about the whole thing. Because he didn't mention that he was drawing, I think, half on canvas, half on a tablet.
Uh-huh.
Which is new. I guess that mostly happened since the last time anything got updated. And I think the way that Hunter x Hunter has been published this whole time has kind of been breaking the way that Jump manga are usually released. And he's had a lot of leeway given his past successes. So it might be related to that as well. Like, editors seem like they worked pretty hard and stressed out a lot in general. And then when you consider, like, he talked about taking like a month to fix a panel,
mm-hmm.
something like that. So it comes down to his health mostly, maybe a little bit of stubbornness, but probably also like stressing out whoever's his current assigned editor, and maybe his assistants have to bear more of the workload than they typically would if they were working for anyone else.
Yeah. Again, this is one of those mystery things that, like, as someone who, you know, in the media creation of things, that we don't get to really know the answer to those. We just speculate. Because they're never going to talk about it, especially, you know, from Shonen Jump. They never reveal, like, things like this. It wasn't until recently that I read, like, Tite Kubo got actually interviewed about his astral, like, you know, the end, towards the end of his of Bleach, and like he actually broke a lot of taboo, or he actually talked about stuff, thus being a taboo about it, because he talked about like how everything basically panned out towards the end, and essentially it made it sound like Shonen Jump was just basically like riding his coattails until he couldn't give any more, because he wanted to be done after a certain point, and then the man never recovered because, you know, zombie powder got canceled.
I forgot we used to make jokes about that.
Yeah, that's the joke. That's the turnaround. That's the whole come around full circle. You know, he's still bitter. Like
Bleach is supposed to be his revenge or whatever.
Right, exactly.
But it worked out, and it's making him money, and now I can't stop. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He was like, you guys don't want anything original. Let me give you garbage. And then the garbage turned out to be popular, and it's like,
right. Oh. And he's like, ah, shit. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll do this, and I'll figure this out, and I'll go about it, and then I want to be done now. And they're like, no, you have to keep going because we have nothing else to do. We have another series that'll push the magazine to for sales. But yeah, he legitimately.
I imagine if you put out a chapter or 10, and it like ranks in the top 10 that week, in the Jump magazine, like they immediately come in and they like chain you to your desk and force you to keep putting out stuff.
Pretty much, that's that. That's the kind of gist that I got from his sort of tell all at the end of his career, because again, he's doing one shots for Bleach for Shonen Jump once in a while, but he's not like, I don't think he'll ever come back for like a full serialized thing, you know.
Bleach is coming back, so
Bleach
whether it's with him or not,
right?
No, they're it's coming back.
What do you mean it's coming back?
It's coming back, like they literally set up a whole new arc.
Are you talking about like with the
with manga? With that last chapter that came out?
Oh, right. But that was I thought that was a tie into the witch and the whatever, because that also takes place in.
That has nothing to do with that, though.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with Burn the Witch.
Yeah, like, Burn the Witch. Thank
like,
you.
They literally do that last chapter, literally sets up a hell arc. But for real this time, instead of that movie they made.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be Ichigo and all the Gotei 13, whoever's left anyway.
Right.
Going down to hell. Yeah.
Huh. I thought that was Hueco Mundo.
No. Apparently there's an actual hell. Hueco Mundo is just like a Spanish fun spot that they made. With no background.
a fun Spanish, resort with no background. It's just empty desert.
Yeah, yeah. Empty sky for miles.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Episode 400.
No, I don't know when it's happening.
Fun Spanish spot.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know when it's actually happening, but yeah, they at least last chapter set up a new arc to start. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's news to me. But then again, I didn't actually read that chapter because I was like, dude, I'm done. I followed all the way through, kind of like with Naruto as well. And then like everyone's like, oh man, Boruto. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I this is where I'm gonna stop it. I'm gonna get off the train right now. I don't need to see, Boruto's son or Naruto's son do his thing.
Oh shit! Now we're talking about the future.
Yeah,
definitely getting a grandson now.
Yeah,
like, they're never gonna let Kishimoto leave.
No, not this way.
The worst thing you could have done is start a sequel series. That's it.
Right, like, exactly. Like that's why. Like I'm sure. Like when Oda's done, he's like, I'm fucking. He's probably gonna like. He's never
he's
gonna finish.
He's probably gonna die. I was gonna say, like, it's very Dragon Ball of things. Like, you don't go into the next generation. They'll never let you leave.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure Shueisha will just assassinate Oda.
Yeah, they'll just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways. I feel like we failed to introduce ourselves again.
No, perfect. We didn't make it to the end of the episode, so it's not that bad.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So we're about 12 minutes in, but we're talking about Hunter x Hunter and the last chapter. Yeah. We swear we're only going to talk about Hunter x Hunter. We're going to go over chapter 400, which is Secrecy. And again, we have all three of us, Diego, Foxy, and Ed.
Eight.
So yeah, let's go. By the way, I saw your tweet, Foxy, about, it's like, of course, the last chapter, he'd be fucking going back to
the princesses.
Going back to the princesses. Because I was just like, of course. Like, I finished, I got to the end, and I was like, motherfucker. That's how you're going to end it. You're going to end it on the fact that we're getting back to the great story that I wanted to see. I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, we got some really cool shit from this. But it's the fact that we still didn't, you know, that's where he left us hanging.
Yeah.
But we start out the chapter with Finx and Phaeton looking at the little GPS tracker that they put on the what was that again? A mussel? No, it was a oyster, right?
It was an oyster.
Yeah, oyster. That he put on the oyster that he left in the floor of the hideout where they were decapitating all the people and like basically dismantling them body parts. And they mentioned
the butcher room slash the butcher laundry room.
Yeah, the butcher room slash laundry room. And he mentions that it's 200 meters away. But the direction is unstable, so that means it could either be above or below them. And as they are currently on tier 3, that means that the hideout is either going to be in tier 2 or tier 4. And so he gets Phaeton, you know, makes the comment that, or I think that might be Finx, I can't tell, but it's like they say that they should go downstairs first, and then if it gets closer or further as we go down, we will know. And it'll be, you know, easier to tell that way. But then Finx mentions that it'd be easier if he could use his N. And then Finx...
Phaeton says it's not.
Phaeton says that he should use his N, that Finx is N. Mm-hmm. And Finx was the one that goes, no. Like, he goes into this whole tirade about, like, no, that'd be ridiculous. Why the hell would I go through the entirety of using my N? It's like... Technically and strategically, like, I'm not good at it. Not only that, but also we don't know who the hell is here. If it gets interrupted, I can't use my end. Gets interrupted when someone talks, when something moves, I can't move either. Best I can do is look for something in a warehouse. And even if I could, leaving all these unknowns inside is like walking through the slums naked with a shoot me sign on my back. Which, I mean, I don't disagree with that. Like, that is literally... Like, you're putting yourself out there. People are going to know they're using your N. Anyone that has any sort of sense of hockey is going to know that someone's using that.
Hockey?
Wait, did I say hockey? Holy shit, I said hockey. Oh, my God. I meant Jesus Christ. I did not mean to say hockey. I swore we were going to only talk about Hunter Hunter.
This is what you get for reading the latest One Piece right before the podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, I actually read all these chapters a week ago, or when they came out on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nen, sorry. Fucking Nen.
It's all good.
But then they run into Nobunaga, which I thought was super interesting because I thought Nobunaga would have gone to look for them in the hideout where he left them. Not because you remember he left Heidrick. Be like, hey, look, I'm going to go look for this stuff. And Heidrick was like, hey, what's up?
Didn't they already have the transmitter and they were already out?
Yeah, they already had
it. They already had it, but I don't know how Nobunaga, like, knew to find them is all I'm saying. Because I think
they've just been wandering around, so he may have just accidentally run into them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he was looking for them specifically.
They're all still on the same floor, so...
Yeah.
I think they're just, like... From a couple chapters ago when they showed up the last time, they were just looking at the transmitter and, like, walking.
Okay.
So, the possibility of running into each other was there.
That's true. I was just more confused because, like, when he got yeeted back to the room, I would have assumed that the moment that the tracer was placed, that they would have started going looking for it. So that's why I was confused. It's like the chronological order of events. But I guess I just waited until it became active, but I thought it was active the moment that they got teleported over there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm checking it.
But So while Foxy's checking that, basically he meets them and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Why are you back already? And he's like, I'll tell you later. Is the transmitter working? And that's when Phaeton and Finks tell him that, yeah, that they're heading to confirm if it's above or below. And that's when they tell him that it's only been about 10 minutes since he's been gone. And that's when he says, that's it. Like, questioning that, like, the fact that it's only been 10 minutes since he left, even though it felt like it was longer, because he made that comment. That's why I wasn't sure, like, how much time has actually passed in his mind.
Okay, so after Heinrich went through, the three guys were kind of confused about how the transmitter is supposed to work. And Phaeton threatened to kill them as well. But he said, head to center of tier 3. If Haddard is on tier 3, it turns at least one shade closer to red. So I think after Nobunaga decided to jump through as well, that's where they went.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of had an idea that they would be in that vicinity, especially since he wasn't gone that long. But I think he was expecting them to have moved, rather than still staying more or less in the same spot.
Gotcha.
So, that makes more sense.
Yeah. But that's when Finks tells them here that they think that it's in tier 2. So as soon as we know for sure, we're going to use the route through Char's hidden door. And then they get to security. And this is when Nobunaga thinks to himself about it being in tier 2. And then Nobunaga tells the security guard on the post that if Hedrick comes here, tell him that we went to the Char hideout. And then the security guard confirms with him that they already heard the story from RNU that they may go, and then he agrees to tell Hinrig when if he sees him. But this is where Nobunaga kind of has his internal monologue, and he doesn't share this with the group. But he says that something doesn't add up, regardless if it's above or below. It's not like the Mafia is telling us the whole story anyway, but it doesn't sit right with me. Like, and I'm not entirely sure if he meant, like, because of the timing, like, if he was gone for longer than the 10 minutes that they said he was gone for, but it felt like it was longer than him. Because I'd imagine that, you know, if you're gone for, like, 10 minutes and you all of a sudden, like, toss back, that there was no way that was only 10 minutes. Maybe.
Yeah.
But Finks asks Nobunaga, like, if he has any idea where he was on the ship when he got teleported. And he goes, no, their leader made a space with Nen. We need to be on our toes. And then that's when Phaeton interrupts him and tells him to look at the transponder. And the GPS thing says that they're further away. So that's how they affirm that it has a highly hideout is in tier 2 for sure. But Nobunaga interrupts him and says that's why it doesn't make sense. That means their boss is upper class. How are they justifying this feud? But Finks responds with saying that killing rebel mafia and the leader holding up in the hideout is not for us to argue. Hylai could be exploiting the ancient custom too. And then Finks is like, or Phaeton's just like, we just go straight to the hideout. Let's just go. Like, I love how he's just like, let's just go there and kill him and get it over with, because that's all we care about. And Nobunaga says that they might need to get Franklin as well to help them, because they don't know how many Hylai there are, and their abilities are way more developed than they expected, because again, he saw what he faced against, and like, even though they didn't kill him or do anything, they took his sword and we're able to expulse him from the room, even though he was prepared to take them on based on his deductive skills with knowing his ability to read their abilities, right? And that's when he says that they seem to be a random bunch of punks, but it could be tough depending on their advisor. And then Finks reminds him, like, this is not important to us. Like, we don't give a fuck. All we're just doing this because this is just killing time while we look for Hisoka. And that's when he says, I know, but it's funny because once again, the person that they're talking to and the person they're working with knows where Hisoka is, but he's doing this just because it's going to help him in his benefit. You know, it's going to benefit him to have the spiders take out Haley for them.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I wonder if Hendrik is gonna die once they find out that he knew where Hisoka was.
I think so. I think there's possibly, no way. Yeah. There's no way they don't kill him for keeping that information from them, especially Krollo. These dudes may not, because they may have developed some sort of rapport with Hendrik, and like might be like, okay, I sort of understand why you did this. And that you needed us to help you against Haile. So Hisoka was your bargaining chip in your back pocket. But it's like he sort of doesn't understand the urgency with which they want to kill this man. And that'll come back to bite him later.
Yeah, I don't see him like living unless he's able to like slyly just come out with the truth and be like, hey, You guys just killed the Haley. I just happened to secured Hisoka's location. Here's his hotel key.
Right.
You know.
Like, while you guys were doing this, I found him. I put him in my hotel room just for you. Surprise.
Yeah. Well, he can try, but I'm sure Hisoka will be like, oh, yeah, I met this guy.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, like, I think Nobunaga legitimately has a respect for him. Because I can't tell who he's talking about in this next panel. Because, you know, he mentions that securing a route upstairs is crucial for a search for Hisoka 2. And then bringing Franklin also reduces the risk in case they run into Hisoka while they're killing time. Which, as we know, is not going to happen.
Well, the second floor is where they send Hisoka, though. So
right, yeah. But in the VVIP room, which again is the aspect of like that may not be, or what if ends up being the room next to. Yeah.
Right. We don't know that she's not in that space.
That's true.
Also, I mean, what's stopping Hisoka? Oh god.
She's one of the king's children too, so even though like she doesn't have the same rights as everybody else, there's no reason why she can't move around like one of them.
True.
Wait, are you talking about what's her face?
The Haile boss?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Haile boss is a king's daughter?
All the mafia bosses are illegitimate children of the king.
Well, the other two are his illegitimate brothers.
Oh, right.
But she's his illegitimate daughter.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought the Haile boss was Sincere Derek or whatever.
Well, he's the sponsor, but she's the boss.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So then she has, I mean, obviously that's the aspect of like it's the VVIP or whatever, like they're high upper class, so he knows that that's like, you know, that's where they're going.
Right. Also, what keeps, like, what stops Hisoka from leaving the room whenever he feels like it?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Right?
I don't think they could have anyone guard the door that could actually beat him in a fight. So if he decides to leave...
No. Yeah, he gets to leave. It's going to be like the episode of Batman where the goon walks into the room doing a patrol, sees Batman, and just leaves and was like, nope, I didn't see nothing.
Right. Nope, I didn't see nothing. But so during this particular panel, though, and this is one of the things that I'm not entirely sure where this is going, because it also feels like another cliffhanger. But like we go and we zoom out, we're outside the whale. There's a shitload of birds. And then Franklin is talking to, or sorry, Fate, or Finks is talking and says that all this arguing is making it seem more like Nobunaga's obsessed with Haile. And that's when Nobunaga says, I'm not denying it. I found someone interesting. And then
probably Finks talking about the guy with the transfer of powers, or like of damage powers. Yeah, that guy.
That guy? Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Not the guy with the robots that fucking yeeted him?
I mean, maybe.
Probably both.
Maybe both, yeah.
And then,
but I think the other dude's just more likely because he has more personality.
Yeah.
And then Phaeton says that Nobunaga likes the enemy too much. But while this is happening, there is an urgent announcement going off that if they could ask their, may we have your attention, please? And then there's some sad news, I'm afraid. And we don't find out what those sad news are, right?
No. Well, we don't find out from the announcement. But I think we know what the sad news is. Based on what the chapters cover.
Yes.
The rest of the chapter covers. So it took me a second to even, like, when I initially turned to this page, I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah.
So we switched to, of all the princes, Tyson's room. And we haven't been here in a while. So I don't even remember what the bodyguards originally looked like anymore. So the first one Tyson introduces is Madwig. He says he's a hitman with amnesia. And we see the sparkling American looking guy. So the only thing I remembered was how to handle a gun. I'm here because Prince Tyson took me in. The second one says, I'm Himanse, a global A-list star. But Sunny had never heard of me. I'm not her type, she says. I've never met anyone like her. Next one says, I'm Ansel, and I'm Prince Tyson's little brother, but she and I are the only ones who know that. Then it's...
The I'm smart Hyuga. One.
I'm being modest when I say that I'm a legendary tutor. I can teach someone with a brain the size of a flea how to get into any elite school, guaranteed. The last one says, I'm a prince from the planet Mooney in the Senior Nebula, or SR Nebula. I came to this planet to seek a bride. And the dude is just as lost as us. He's like, what? Okay. And I guess he figures out. So he's like, they're acting out all these characters you like. Clearly, she's picked out several different archetypes from, like, romance manga.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's going with. But Tyson says, hold on, that's taboo. She says, they're reborn. While you're on board, you'll be reincarnated as a whole new Giuliano. He's just like, got it. He tells him, you seem to be a player, but you're really a bodyguard with a heart of gold. And he's like, got it, reincarnated. And I love that, I forgot his name. Kurpika's teacher is like, oh wait, no, that's Hugo in the background. It's like, oh, so he's the same.
Basically. Izunavi is the guy's name, Kurapika's teacher. Yeah.
So that dude's like, he doesn't seem different, but I'm worried about how quiet he gets when he's reading that book. He thinks it's definitely linked to the Six Princes' Nen ability, but if it truly proselytizes love, it may be possible to incorporate the king and get him to cancel the succession battle. So then he asks Tyson if she gave the book to the other princes. And as you know, like, you can't contact the princes that are above you. You can only contact the ones that are below. So she says that she gave the book to the lower princes and their mothers, but they probably haven't read it. She says she's in an iffy position in the line to the throne. I don't have much influence. So he asks if she gave it to the king. And she said, she asked her mother, she'd like to believe he has it, but she needs her permission to see him. And she says that was her condition to take part in the succession battle. She says she wasn't going to do it, but her mom was disappointed that she turned out like this. She doesn't expect any grandchildren. She says she used to hate the pitying glasses from the other queens. And she really wanted to be able to retaliate. But unfortunately, I only fight with the power of love. And then he asks, if she could convince her mother to personally ask the king at the next banquet to read the book. He says it could hold the key to changing the ship's fate. Is Tyson's like, it makes me happy to hear you say that. All right, I'll ask mommy. And then we cut away again. There's so much going on in this chapter.
Yeah,
there's
it, so like, much. He like try to stuff this in with as much as possible.
This is page 6, and like this right. is now like the third plot line.
Yep.
I remember getting to this page, and I'm like, how am I not at least halfway through this chapter?
Chapter, yeah.
So, Kacho and Fugetsu's mom is like outside this area, and she's yelling, why can't she see Fugetsu? She's a mother. It's like, I'm worried about her. Let me see her. Until then, cordoning off the room is unacceptable. And the person on the phone is like, I'd rather let others think Kacho is alive as long as possible. So she yells back, I'll talk to Fugetsu myself when the time is right. Yes, you must go through me. She thinks to herself, it hurts to have Kacho drop out so early. I hated her know-it-all attitude, but she was an important shield for her sister. I can get Fugetsu to do what I want, but she's too weak on her own. It's safest for her to be protected at the Justice Bureau for as long as possible. And
so you think the sad news was that we find out that Kacho is dead?
Kacho's dead. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
I understand.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, Ghost Kacho says, I think I was resurrected as a guardian spirit to protect Geddy. This might be my spirit beast ability, but if Geddy can see me, that means I'm out of the succession battle. If I'm using Geddy's aura as fuel, it's a heavy burden on her. This is taking place in the interrogation room of the Justice Department that they have on the boat, because of course they do. She says, I'm partly to blame for her collapse. If she finds out the truth, would that decrease the burden on her Nen? Melody's having a breakdown. Because, of course, she assisted the sisters in trying to escape, and as a result, Kacho died. She yells, Melody, get over it for now. Beat up yourself when you're alone. She said, this is what I wanted. I don't regret a thing, and this makes things simpler. We can make Fugetsu the king. If we can't escape, we must fight. Everyone thinks I'm dead and gone. Later, I'll suddenly turn up alive. We'll take advantage of both these situations. Just don't tell her that I died. So, this dude says, in that case, you should warn her in advance that people have the mistaken impression that you died. Since you, in fact, exist, she'll accept that explanation. He's like, ghosts, and then my brain can't keep up with this. Between the army's report and Melody's demeanor, I somehow believe it, but... And I guess this is Melody thinking. It's like, as if you're annoyingly calm. He says, as Kacho said, we can't have you in this unstable mental state. A girl less than half your age is waiting for you. Don't disappoint us. Kacho says, decide right now if you're going to help us, old maid. And I love this this little panel. between, where she's like angrily staring at Kacho.
Panel fucking flipped me out because I was like, what the fuck is up with Melody's faces in this entire chapter are just kind of all over the fucking place.
I love that I can't remember how old they are. I think like 12 or 13. It's like, you're getting bossed around by the ghost of a 13-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta get it together. So she exclaims, fine, I'll do it. And dude's like, okay, good. First of all, we have visitation requests from 5 princes. The 3rd and 4th prince invited you to their quarters. Their personal request to talk to you and hear you play. 1st, 5th, and 7th princes are more explicit. They want to issue pardons and request an encore. So, Kacho asks, what pardon? And Melody puts a finger to her lips to tell... I don't remember if this dude's name gets mentioned later. But the guy that had helped them escape as well, who'd also died.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. Yeah.
And he silently agrees to keep it a secret. He says, now that the princes have a better understanding of Nen, they know that Melody was involved in the escape attempt. If they find you guilty as an accomplice, you could be sentenced to death. If you don't want to be charged, they'll ask that you play. So Kacho says they want your indirect help in the assassinations. So what? There'll be fewer princes. Which is a very callous way to respond, but you're dead, I guess, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I have a bit of a different perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't know. There are so many higher ranking princes, so there are a lot of unknowns, and they're restraining themselves. If we don't get a general grasp of who's going after whom, we might end up shooting ourselves in the foot. Melody says my ability is meant for healing, blacking out is a side effect. Would they give up once they learn you can just block it by covering your ears? He says, it all comes down to bargaining. I think we'll end up putting your true encore up for auction among the higher ranking princes. So, Melody is continuing to have a breakdown. Playing an assassination come as a set. It's like, no. And he says, if you prioritize Prince Fugetsu, but the most effective would be to deceive them all and get rid of the higher ranking princes ourselves. Everybody's shock face. And he says, ideally, we would pour slow acting poison into the mouths of the princes while they're blacked out. If you're on board with the plan, I can prepare everything you need. And Melody says, if we fail, it would mean your death. Why would you do this for us? And then it's like, this came completely out of nowhere. And he's like, first of all, he's glasses face in that panel.
No eyes.
Yeah.
Serious glasses face, which I love. He's like, odd. I thought I explained it already. And he says, Melody, I'm in love with you.
I fucking love the fact that it's like, she's dead face. She's like, oh my God. Kacho's like, oh my God. And then his face just says, meh.
Yes, the true face of a man in love.
Right.
He says, I haven't been able to sleep at night. I keep thinking back to your performance, and I enjoy that. I've never felt such throbbing of my heart. I don't know what to do about it myself. And Melody's like, what the? She's like, with a heart rhythm as precise as an atomic clock. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, he's continuing with his like confession. Says, people assume I'm a workaholic, but I think my desire for love is more intense than anyone else. Melody's like, is this a trap? But he brought up the assassination himself. He must have been set by a prince.
Right.
Dude's still talking. He's like, it's only natural for me to prioritize the one I love. She's like, what I don't get is he could easily get rid of us inside the Justice Bureau. Why would he be so roundabout? She says, she continues to think he's definitely a manipulator pretending not to know Nen. He's manipulating himself as a non-Nen user, trying to use us for hidden purposes. She says, all right, we're in. She's like, all right, I'll get the supplies. You use the visitations and make it so that as many princes as possible attend the next banquet. Kacho's still in shock in the background. The simultaneously assassinating the higher-ranking princes might be a real goal, so the one behind this is a prince who didn't apply for visitation. Kacho says, I'll do my part. We need Getty's help. I'll explain to her that they think I'm dead and make her understand that we have to get rid of the top four princes. He says, all right, go back to the interrogation room. I can't pass through walls, so I'll use the door. I guess he's talking about Kacho.
Yeah.
So she asks, like, while she's halfway through this bookshelf, shouldn't you interrogate me? And he's like, I'm worried about your sister. Everyone would believe you remained silent. And he's like, as he's watching her, I guess, teleport out. So that's amazing every time. And then we see him leave through the door. And he tells the people gathered there, thanks for waiting. He thinks the VIP witness protection area is the safest on the ship. Not even the first prince could try anything here. He talks to the dude behind the desk. He's like, Mr. Steiner, a moment. He says, if the first prince's men or the royal army come here, press this button. I can only ask you as an outsider. Dude's like protesting. He says, the Justice Bureau is the most neutral institution here. Once special martial law is declared, it will instantly turn into a dictator's base. The military temporarily taking control of the powers of the government in the case of a national emergency. And he says, the worst case scenario is the transfer of power right after a whole mass of royal soldiers is sent inside the Justice Bureau. Once that's done, those deemed as insurgents will be charged and executed in the span of 10 minutes. He says this is the last check against the army going rogue. And the dude's like, I don't know the details of the succession battle, but is it really that dire? And he says, we don't know. That's why we must be prepared. You're one of the few witnesses on board, guaranteed to return alive. Your safety will be assured no matter what. He says, that only makes it sound like I'm marked for death. But if I die, it means that something happened that can't be in the official record. And then we cut back to Kachu. Where she returns to Fugetsu's room.
Yeah.
And Fugetsu's not there. She's like, we're major witnesses, so we can't leave the room. Did she use her ability to go somewhere? And she's like frantically tearing the room apart. She pulls back the bed sheets and there's a door. She's like, I knew it. Did something happen? Then she starts panicking because the way their abilities work is that one of them opens the door to answer and the other one opens the door to leave. And she's like, with me being dead, is she trapped somewhere with no way out? And then she asks, is Kaiser at the Justice Bureau our enemy? Was she attacked in the time that I was talking to that guy? Then the door opens and we see Fugetsu. She's excited. And Kasha's like, thank goodness, where were you? Okay, what happened? And she's like, it's an amazing breakthrough. My magic, you know how I can only use it once a day? I can use it many times now. And guess what? The return door appears even when I'm by myself. I can go back to the original location, but now we can even explore when you're resting.
I feel like, and you didn't read that as crazy as she looks, but just that.
No, yeah. I can't do that. Like, she's clearly mad at me. And Kacho's like, you look really tired. He's like, I'm fine. I'm great. That's not all. I'm so happy and full of energy every time I use my magic. I can scout all these places now. We'll use our magic, keep improving, and escape together. And she's like, what's going on? Is this really an ability that grows the more you use it? I don't think so. She says, but you look really pale, so take it easy. And Fugetsu grabs her arm and she says, I've known all along that you've been protecting me. Now it's my turn. I'll do anything. I want to do this. And it's clear that there's something wrong with her. So Kasha says, go ahead.
I'm glad we've answered the question of what is Nen, and apparently it is crystal meth.
Nen is crystal meth.
Once you get it, you get addicted to using it, right?
Yeah.
So she says, let's get some rest. And Fugetsu's like, I'm fine, I want to rest.
She's crying in that panel, right? Like, those are tears coming down her eyes. Her face is just like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, let's go to bed. We can keep going later. She's okay. And Kachu comments that she's out cold. She didn't simply go to sleep. She passed out. That's not normal, but I can't figure out why. And Melody is like, I'd like to see for myself, but I'm a material witness, so I'm not supposed to be in contact with you two. It'll be especially hard to get to Fugetsu. Let's have Kaiser adjust my meeting times with the princess with her interview. Make it so that we pass each other in the halls. And we see this actually happen where the guards are escorting Fugetsu and they're escorting Melody, and they do pass. And Melody notices, I think, the sound these creatures are making first. And then she looks up, and I guess Kacho's singing, and a bunch of little Nen bugs are hovering around her.
Right.
And then we see on the next page, like, there's a bunch of, like, traditional ghost-looking things leeching off of her.
The Nen bug thing, though, I was trying to think, like, that's Tyson's power, too, right? Tyson's power gives off bugs like that?
Tyson's power has, like, the little weird scribble things. I don't think they're bugs exactly.
It says
they're like bug sized. Whereas these look like actual...
Oh, it lays smaller Nen beasts about the size of a lizard with large eyes for a head. Grandstall has a tadpole-like tail. These Eyewogs attach themselves to anyone who comes across Tyson's teachings, collecting aura from them and bestowing happiness in return. So no, that would not be it.
Yeah, that's,
that
can,
would be...
You can kind of see... Are they in this... I think they're one of them. Was around, yeah, it's on the shoulder of the dummy that's been reading the book that she said is a bodyguard with a heart of gold. You can see one there on that page.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's page 5. This might be her own Nen ability, her own beast that's doing this.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why she says it's important to find an exorcist, and I think she talks about it in that panel that is coming up afterwards. That says yeah. That, what should I do here? Because basically, her aura is so weak that it's practically Setsu.
Yeah.
So, that aspect with the exorcism, it's her Nen beast just basically eating up her soul. Or her life force. I don't really know how the Nen beasts completely work or where they get their power from like this.
I mean, they kind of have to get it from somewhere, right?
So. Right, but that would be her life force, essentially?
Well, they yeah. did say that the Nen beasts use their aura. And that's why they tend to fall asleep after they've done anything like these. They've exerted the powers of the Nen Beast. They usually pass out right after. But in this time, since Kacho's been dead, it seems like Fugetsu has been nonstop using this ability. And because of that, I guess it's killing her. Because she probably wasn't that strong to begin with.
Yeah.
She possibly even has, like, 2 Nen Beasts, you know,
Well, because
feeding off of her,
Kacho might also Kacho's, be feeding off of
her. Kacho mm-hmm. is also feeding off of her because she does say that Kacho's like, yeah. I am using literally my, I'm using her aura to keep myself and my Nen alive, type mm-hmm. thing. Which again, I wonder if like if she runs out of aura, then Kacho's gone, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think they probably will both die again.
Yeah, I think that's...
So, Melody remarks that they have to get her exercised, and then the guards point her towards one of the visiting rooms, and they say, you have 10 minutes, all conversations will be recorded, and they can be used in a court of law. So, as she's approaching what's-his-face, she's like, why is Fugetsu in such a weakened state? What I don't understand is that I can't see whatever's possessing her. If it has such a powerful influence, there should be a clear trace or the thing itself nearby. Based on the timing, she's a hostage and I'm here to negotiate. Someone will insinuate it in these meetings. So it's the third prince. And she says, I didn't think you'd be here personally. And he says, I wanted to show my respect. Your performance at the banquet was most impressive. He says, I have 2 requests. I'd like to hear it again. I'd like to take you to take this as proof of my respect. And I don't know if he's the lawyer. It's like, would you accept this gift from the visitor? And she says, yes, of course. And he says, it's something that I made. And we see that it's a coin.
Coin again.
Yep.
And it's a 1 and not a 10.
Well, so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like at the moment. Yeah.
We still don't know what it does.
No.
Yeah.
So... The next person is Fantine, a representative for the 4th prince. He says, I know a negotiation here in public has no meaning. I would just like to confirm some things. He says, His Highness would like to invite you to his quarters. Would you accept? And she says, I'm honored, but I'm not at liberty to decide that on my own. And he asks, because you were hired to guard Prince Kacho, he says, I can't comment about my contract. So I'll ask a different question then. Are you unwilling to play again?
She says, personally, if I'm asked, I would be happy to play anywhere under the right circumstances. Levantine says, that's good to hear. His Highness will be pleased. She says, I think negotiating here is possible. And she says, what do you mean? That's for after you're released. We can work out the details then. And she, having read his heartbeat, says to herself, Bates of confusion and doubt. The fourth prince isn't behind this. It's not the third prince or the fourth prince. Three more to go. So we cut to her and Kaiser. And he says, even if you play at the next banquet, you don't think we should follow through with our plan yet. Ali says, no, we should be cautious. While we don't know who's behind, Prince Forgets His Changes. We must find out what's consuming her immediately. Please get me released on bail. Kaiser says, we can't do that. If we ease your confinement, we won't be able to turn down the subpoenas from the princes. Even now, the first prince's men are waiting for you to emerge from our offices. She says, then go see Kurapika in room 1014 and tell him everything. He's the only one I can rely on. Kaiser says, everything? And she's like, there's no time to waste. Please hurry. She says, none of their heartbeats reacted to the word negotiation. The mastermind is someone else entirely. Or maybe he's waiting for an opportunity. I can't take any of the princes or their people off this, the list of suspects. And we go back to Kurapika's room, where he's apparently meeting with Tubepa's representative. There's a few more princes. Last time we saw him, a few more princes agreed to send people.
Yep.
And the person says, I don't need divination. Will you agree to our contract? And he says, yes. He says, I will collaborate with Prince Tubepa. And then we see Hunter Hunter will go on hiatus starting next week.
The magic words.
Yeah.
Yep.
As I said it when I read it, that it was happening, like Doc says, reset the clock.
Yes.
Reset the clock one more time. I knew this was going to happen. I knew we're going to end on like a high. And we're gonna go into this like that. The fact that we're going back into the princess story after all this talk in the mafia is still,
and the spiders,
just and like the spiders,
a whole flashback nobody asked for, but everyone's happy to get,
right?
And it's back to upstairs business.
I sort of
appreciate that. Once it was clear he was going into the mafia stuff, like, he didn't dip back into the princes until the end.
Right.
He gave us a little bit of clarification on what they're doing. We got a little bit more on the type of dude Heinrich is. We got to meet some of the Haile people, see their butchery and their hideout. We saw Hisoka. We saw the Phantom Troop babies. We saw Serednik's military friends, which we didn't need to see at all.
That was like, a weird
I forgot about those.
That was a weird flashback that was put in there. But it was like, we saw them because they're going to get involved somehow in the future. But it was also giving us a background on how his home country in Kaken kind of treated him and his friends, I guess, you know? That was a thing.
It was like during his mandatory military service, like, they learned what kind of dude Serednik really was.
Right.
Which is still sus, because we know he's a murderer. And that hates women, apparently. So
I don't really... boring people. That's literally how it's been told. It's not just women.
It's mostly women.
Well, because he's like, he gets them and they're like, oh my God, they're coming for him. And he like has sex with them and he talks to them, but he's bored of them. So then he just murders them.
But like, these guys seem like the most boring people, because their whole contribution in that chapter is them literally saying, oh, I'm not gonna do anything because I'm lazy and I don't.
Yes,
get
no, you're right too. I don't know why we spent that entire chapter with them, and to learning about them and to have that stuff. Because you're right, that was pretty much out of left field. to focus that soul chapter just on them. I remember going back to like when we were covering that chapter, being like, I don't know why the hell we like, who are these people? We get introduced to more people that we like, I don't even, should we care about them? Like, are they going to be important? Like, we don't know.
I completely skimmed that chapter. I didn't even focus on needing anything. As soon as they were like, oh, I wonder what our good friend and bosom buddy Serednik is up to right now. I was like, nope, I don't need to know about these people. That man is awful. I can only deal with him. I can't deal with him and his fanboys. That's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
Just one or the other. He either has fanboys for some unrelated reason, because all of the princes probably have fanboys, or it's just Serednik being a complete and utter terrifying psychopath. I can only do one thing. And I'm going to lean on him, because he's probably going to affect the plot more.
Probably.
But yeah, that was very random.
You know, just to punish us, when the first chapter, when we come back, it's gonna go back to them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I feel like maybe like 5 chapters in, we'll get them again, and it'll probably
tie into something. Expound
on them more. Like, there'll be a reason for them to move. Whether he sent a message to them and is like, "Marina's wilding out. Could you guys go kill her?" Something like that.
Or, "Hey guys, Nen is cool. Come check it out."
He'll probably invite them into the room and then blow their heads off, and he's like, "Well, wait, we thought they were friends." It's like, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's evolved beyond the need for friends.
Yes, he's got his own friend with a very long neck.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought you were going to be talking about Theta, but yeah.
Oh, right, Theta. Well, I just kind of assume, like, the next time we go back to them, Theta's corpse will be, like, strewn across the tapestry.
No, that guy seems like he's into people defying him, so who knows?
Yeah.
Like, at least you're not boring, even though you tried to shoot me.
And that's where the excitement comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
What's a little nearly dying between friends, honestly?
Yes, unless you shoot them in the leg while they're walking away, and then you're a bitch.
All right, anything else? I guess this will be like the batch of 10 chapters review.
Yeah.
You sound so sad.
I am sad. Why would I not be sad? Like, it's the end of the story so far, and like, we just have to fucking wait here and, like, you know, wonder what's gonna happen from here.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, you know, in the time while we're apart, Shonen Jump puts out tons of other manga.
Oh, of course.
Maybe there'll be something that you like.
I read everything every single week. That's not,
doesn't sound like they're good, but okay,
they're not bad. Like,
I'm
so
sure,
far
I've been, I'm sure I've they'll been come enjoying out with other
series
else. Yeah,
I've been enjoying other series. Like, I definitely, like, you know,
okay,
like, I've been enjoying Muscle and Magic and Muscle.
Yeah, that's about to get an anime.
It is pretty freaking good. And then before that, I was enjoying Undead and Unlock. That's
Cyber
been
canceled.
What's
Did it get canceled?
No. It just looks like it's about to.
Is that also getting an anime?
Yes, it's getting an anime, but it also feels like it's about to end at some point.
Oh, must be, because nice.
It's more of the fact that more so the fact that like the way the author is doing it, it seems very much like he finished the story, but he's like at the last arc type thing.
We got distracted from the question.
We did.
So in your looking back at the 10 chapters, when you think of the instant disappointment there was when we got chapter 391 and it was focusing on those two kids in the hallway, now, what are you looking forward to, and what did you really
enjoy about this space of 10 chapters. I feel like I've said it a lot, so you two can go ahead.
I think, I think that had we had no hiatus and we would have kept going, I wouldn't have minded those 10 chapters being lost on mostly the mafia shit. Mm-hmm. Because again, I know that it's the bigger picture, but because of the fact that we had that literally introduced towards the end of the stuff, and it's the only way they can quote unquote throw in the spiders, I guess. Because that's essentially what he threw them into. He threw them into for the mafia stuff. Because they can't get, they're not going to get involved with the prince stuff, right? But this is kind of how you have them go through.
Yeah, for right now, there's no way for them to get involved with the succession until they're able to access the top floors.
Right.
Because their whole goal was to get there and rob the celebrities and royals until, like, Hisoka, added in the spice of murder.
Right.
So now they have two goals, but the goal of robbery is still one of them. I guess Hisoka trumps that for now because they can rob them at any time. And you'd probably want to do the stealing closer to the end of the voyage so you'd actually be able to escape. Whereas Hisoka is, as soon as you find him, you can try to kill him.
Understood. But yeah, I mean, I feel like because we were paying attention to all of the princess stuff, and then all of a sudden we took a break to talk about the mafia, and then it became like we waited 4 years to come back, and it's like, oh crap, it's still the mafia, you know, we're still dealing with the stuff in the mafia, that it's making it very much like it was just unfortunate where he stopped the story, if that's where he was in the back of his mind, right?
Yeah.
Because it feels like we came back to it and we got the flashback of the spiders, which is great. That was like the highest point of this entire 10 chapter arc.
Yeah.
And I, again, was very much like excited and looking forward to seeing how, you know, now that Nobunaga and the mafia is coming and like where these powers are coming out, like where they're getting invested, and now it looks like he's not even going to be paying attention to that anymore, that we're going to basically, whenever we come back, we're going to go right back to the prince stuff.
Yeah, because now we have intrigue again. Because, I mean, we still had to go back to the princes just because, like, the last time we saw them was when they discovered Kacho's dead body.
Right.
And you had to continue on from that point because now she's the third prince that's died.
Right.
And that information is very important. We also had, what's her name's little brother? The one whose entire room disappeared. Like, that's going on. Oh,
it went to, like, a different dimension, right?
Yeah.
We had, the one who has the unity with his followers, that guy.
Is that the suddenly, fifth prince?
I think he's the... No, he's not the... Is he the fifth? He might be. Where his Nen...
Hulkenberg.
His yes. Nen suddenly spiked, and that freaked everybody out.
Man, the super arrow, or whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah.
Like, Benjamin's losing his mind. Camilla's losing her mind. Tubepa's trying to figure out what in the world is going on in this arena. I can't remember his name, which is why I skipped over it. The third prince and his coins. Like, it's a bunch of little things that's happening with everybody that's still alive. And Kacho, because she technically still exists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's like 10 of them that all still have, like, concurrent storylines, and none of them have to do with them murdering each other. So we still haven't gotten to that part, really, except for Benjamin.
who's planted people that are secretly trying to assassinate the lower siblings. And we have Kurapika, who's done what Kurapika has done and ruined everything for the few people who had the advantage of already knowing Nen. He's stressed. He's used Emperor time a million times. He's gonna die. Yeah, so we got all of that going on. There's the potentiality of a riot as well, which is what's part of the Hanto organization is trying to deal with. Part of them are traitors that are working for Beyond Netero. And it seems as though the organization knows. It's so much shit.
Yeah.
And he added the mafia on top of that.
Right.
Like, it wasn't even there. It's like 3 weeks before he went on hiatus. He's like, okay, now I'm going to fully explain the Kakin mafia to you and how everything right. works. And you're just that's, like, I didn't need this information.
And that's what I mean. I feel like that's his only way to get the spiders in. Right, because it's like you have to have some sort of issue happen below decks, some sort of conflict where the spiders are going to get involved and get in messed up in this situation because of it all. You know what I mean?
You're right, but I also think that it would have been hilarious to not do any of this and allow you to forget that they were on board.
Oh, the spiders? What the fuck?
Then they just pop up and start killing people.
Like, oh shit, it's the spiders, what up? It's just
like, yeah, they did board this ship 8 years ago. That did happen, right? No, he gave us this wonderful flashback.
Yeah.
But that was, again, that was freaking awesome and good. And it's, again, the favorite part of these 10 chapters. Obviously, I feel like it was a lot of people. What the fucking notes said and all of that, I don't know, and I don't know when we're gonna find out about it. Like you said, we didn't find out about what the note said before he went on hiatus.
Yep.
So that's fun.
And it's like one of those things where, is he gonna tell us in like 5 chapters, or is it something that's just meant to never be seen?
Reveal.
Right. Yeah, to like never be revealed. It's supposed to be one of those things. Supposed to be a mystery on purpose.
I would be so upset. Like, that would be, I think that would be my 13th reason. If we make it to the end of this manga and we'd never find out what was on the letter. Like, oh, that's gonna be why I break in your house and hold you at gunpoint.
Right. I mean,
you tell me what was on that paper. I'm your biggest fan. Okay, wonderful story. Love the ending. What was on that paper?
What the fuck?
Got into your head. What did it say?
Get on your back and start drawing, motherfucker.
No, he can dictate it. That's fine. It's just a letter. Okay, just tell me. That's all I want.
Okay.
Well, yeah, sorry. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
I kind of forgot the question. Is it just like, what is our favorite thing at this 10 chapters?
Yeah, and then what are you looking forward to?
Well, it's for me, it's definitely Spider Muppet Babies, and that's my favorite. And then what I want to see is, I know it's kind of cliche, but like, I kind of want to see the, like, some kind of catastrophe happen that brings all these different parties together to interact in some way or another. Like, I just kind of want something out of left field that no one was expecting, like some kind of extraterrestrial being from the Dark Continent, like attacking the murder boat or something, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something that makes us think, that shakes things up, that shakes the table.
Because I do like all these threads, like, you know, like Eve said earlier, like we've got intrigue on top of intrigue on top of intrigue. But, you know, I like to see stuff get swerved.
Yeah. I feel like you said earlier, though, there's a lot of shit going on, and like for us to have one-off chapters about stuff and only getting 10 chapters, it feels like I want more, but it is that hungry aspect of I don't know if we're gonna get that, you know?
Yeah. I think you absolutely have to balance like being hungry for a story you've been invested in for like well over, I don't even know how this works, well over 2 decades.
Right.
Like what is time? What is 2022? Minus 19, whatever. With like being a decent human being and caring about his health, both physically and mentally, and like understanding that your consumption of this series is like the least important thing in the world.
Right.
Compared to a person's like ability to enjoy their day-to-day life. So
of course.
Yeah.
We do desire to have more chapters. But we're gonna wait for them like everybody else without making a big deal out of anything. Like, we got chapters in 2022. I was never expecting that. So
yeah. Wasn't expecting that at all.
I don't think any of us were until all of a sudden we got that, and then it's like, oh crap, hey, we should record again. And like you said, there's the aspect of us being, you know, more involved and having episodes that we're going to be recording outside of the chapters. And hopefully, like I said, while we're still recording weekly stuff, we'll find out, you know, what the plans are and the release schedule, and we'll plan accordingly from there.
Yep.
But I checked the, I was checking to see if we had any other emails or any messages, and I didn't see any emails. So.
Well, at least we got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least we got one.
I wasn't expecting to get any.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's true. But cool. I think that does it for our episode. And again, we end things kind of where we began, with not knowing what the future holds.
Yeah, yep. And something about these princes.
Yes. Something about these princes. We didn't get a solution for the coins, or what the coins were.
It's all we know is, part.
I know, all these different mysteries. And again, I'm not sitting here being like, Togashi, fuck your back, fuck your body. Like, you know, like, we obviously care about him as an author and like we want as a person. But like, maybe don't be so strong headed and like actually, you know, let other people help you out type thing.
I do like that they're looking for a solution when it comes to releasing the chapters.
Right.
Whether that's just simply because it's going to be sporadic and it's not as though they can hold a space in Jump for Hunter x Hunter. So some other manga has to end or be cancelled or go on hiatus or something like that in order for Hunter x Hunter to run in the magazine. So maybe mm-hmm. that's like a situation of like maybe they'll publish the chapters in the app directly that way, mm-hmm. like, because Gintama was published, I think they made a Gintama app and they published it directly in that. After it went into another magazine, I guess that has less competition in terms of page space for a while, then took a break, then it went digital. So maybe they're working through something like that as a solution for whenever this next batch of chapters gets done, or maybe he'll release them one chapter at a time whenever they're finished. And that would definitely need another solution, because like, you can't randomly kick people out or force them to take vacation while you're dropping Hunter x Hunter in.
Yeah.
So
can't really do that.
I guess we'll see. Closer to the moment that they're ready to release more chapters, like how that delivery is going to go.
Yeah.
But until then, I guess the website is droppingthex.com. Yeah. The email address is hxhpodcast@gmail.com. The Twitter is hxhpodcast. And I guess Ed has a sign-off line for you.
Of course. Always remember, the climax is Ahsoka's penis.
Yep. And we will be back again next week with a different episode. We'll kind of go over all that stuff next time, because we do have to talk about logistics between now and then. But yes, we do have plans. We're not going anywhere, so don't fret. Togashi may have left you guys, but we won't. Until then, we'll see you guys next week.